Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Bob Keebler, and we're here with Ed Slott to talk about the General Electric pension buyout. Ed, let's just jump right in. It's been in the news that General Electric is going to have a wonderful buyout, and wonderful for some people, maybe not so wonderful for others. And big picture, what are the key factors advisors should address with clients, the employees with this choice, when they're considering a lump sum buyout?
Well, there's a number of factors, and this is a high-value conversation because the answer is going to be different for every employee. First of all, everyone's going to get a different offer. In general, it's the same offer, but there are different employees with different ages, different years of service, so they will all have different numbers. So first thing they want to know is, all right, how much do I get? And do they understand really the difference between taking a lump sum buyout, which is what is being offered, and continuing with the pension plan? Now, as most advisors know, if you take the lump sum, which is a present value, it's going to be a lot less than you would have got or you would have received actuarially over your expected lifetime. So you have to understand what's being offered. So instead of getting a pension, remember what the company's objective is to clean up their balance sheet and get rid of all of this pension debt they have. So the one way to do it is buy the employees out. So they have to understand how it affects them personally. And I think the biggest factor will be longevity, both for the company and for the employee personally. By longevity on the company side, what do you think? See, if I was speaking to the employee, say my client, I would say, how do you feel about the long-term financial stability of your company? Now, of course, this is GE, but you never know. Now, companies don't last forever these days. And if the employee is saying, well, I don't know if they're going to be around, well, that could be a problem. So that might lead you to say take the lump sum because that's a bird in the hand. You have that money. If you think the company is going to be around forever and there's no problem with the payments, which I don't know if you can ever know, but if you think that way, then continuing the pension payments is probably okay. And then your own personal longevity, meaning your own expected life expectancy based on your health or family, how long you're going to live. Because if you take a pension, it generally ends when you die. And if you die early, that a lot of that money is going to be lost as opposed to the lump sum, which might have lived on. Also, there are issues if you're married. If you're married under these plans, these defined benefit pension plans, it has to cover a spouse. There are survivor benefits for spouses. So you can't even take the lump sum. Let's say you're hearing this from your client, and the client is leaning towards taking the lump sum, but they're married. What they have to do is first get spousal consent. And a spouse may be reluctant to give spousal consent to getting a survivor payout for life. So it's that's another issue. One of the big issues that many people don't think of is interest rates. Interest rates right now are at an all-time low, so the advisor might have to explain how this works to the client. Most advisors know that there's an inverse relationship. In other words, the lower the interest rate, the higher the offer of the lump sum. Interest rates are at almost an all-time low now, so the lump sums being offered will probably be the highest amount they will ever get offered. Unless you think interest rates can possibly go lower. And the reason that is, the lower the interest rate, the more they have to put up for the present value. Just as the higher the interest rate, if rates go up, that lump sum offer will go lower. So that's another factor. And then there's always the behavioral aspects. This is the thing you have to explain to clients. And I know you have some experience with this, Bob. Many of these employees that are getting these offers, they're not all executives. Most of them are blue-collar workers that if they take the lump sum, whether it's $150,000 or $310,000 or $240,000, whatever it is, it's going to be one of the biggest checks they will ever see in their lifetime. Can they handle that kind of windfall? Do they have the financial discipline? And I know you and I were talking, you have some experience with this with the Procter & Gamble, what happened when people got their checks. So why don't you say, repeat what we talked about earlier, of what happened to some of those people that thought they were getting, that got these big checks.
What happened was they built a cottage and then they bought a boat every time. And before you know it, they had, and we're talking about somebody that worked in the mill, hardworking job, very often swing shifts, and what transpired is they would get $1.4 million, $1.5 million pension buyout, put it in an IRA, and they would proceed then to get the big cottage and the speedboat and everything that goes along with it. And, of course, that was a very temporary windfall. The smart money, which we are all aware of, would have been to very prudently, patiently invest that, but that's not what they did. So that became a real challenge.
Didn't you tell me that most of that money was gone within 2 years? Was that what you said?
Yeah, a couple of these guys, they were back at work, begging to go back to work within a couple of years. I mean, it didn't take real long until they had to totally regroup and go back to work. It was really, I mean, we did the best we could for them. As a matter of fact, I had one guy who, I think he was my client for about 20 minutes. He came to see me, after about 20 minutes into our meeting, he actually fired me because he said, this is not what I want to hear. I don't want to hear I can't retire. I want you to find a way to make me retire. And I said, you can't. You're 52 years old. You have $800,000. You want to spend $125,000 a year. It's impossible. And it's the moral of the story is it's very, very hard for people to compare a large lump sum with what they need to live on each year. For some reason, the mind just can't wrap its – it can't compare those two numbers. For everybody on this who are largely CPAs, of course you can understand it. But for everyone else, the math is really hard. And that's what we have to understand when we try to be empathetic – and supportive of these clients. So Ed, let's go on though. Let's talk about basically financial stability of the company. What about the PBGC? How does that work?
I'm glad you brought that up because if you talk to a client and you might know a little and you might say to the client, remember I said ask the client what they think about their future solvency, the long-term financial stability of the company. And they say, I think they'll be around a while. It's your job to say, what if they're not? And then you might say, well, you don't have to worry. There's a safety net called the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp, actually created from ERISA when all the pension protections were created. And that might sound like a good deal, but it isn't. That's an insurance policy. So an insurance policy is only as good as the insurance company. In this case, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp is an insurance company. But what if they run out of money? Now, you might say, well, that's a government agency. No, it isn't. It's a quasi-government agency. They don't get their money. Their funding is not from the government. Congress, I guess, could do anything, but it's unlikely they will bail out the PBGC. The funds for the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp come from premiums paid by defined benefit plans. And here's the problem. There's less and less over time defined benefit plans, pension plans. So obviously there's less premium dollars coming in. So what does the PBGC do? Well, if you look at the history, which I happen to have in front of me, actually they just released these rates. These premium rates a few days ago for 2020, and the premium rates over the last 7 years have almost doubled, almost 100% increase. Why? because there was not enough money coming in from the defined benefit plan. So what do? So they raise the premium rates. So what happens then? Well, then when the big companies with hundreds of thousands of employees like GE sees this massive premium bill, they're more likely to dump their pension plan. So it's like a catch-22, some kind of conundrum where you're going to have less companies paying premiums. So it's pretty likely the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp won't be there when you need it. Now, there's two kinds of plans that they insure, the multi-employer plans. Those plans are in trouble. Pension Benefit Guarantee Corp will probably not be able to pay in for those plans over the next 5 years. It's some statistics show at 2025, there won't be any money for those plans. Why? Again, there's less of those plans. The companies that tend to be multi-employer are the old manufacturing and the kind of companies that are just dying out. So there's not enough of them, and not enough of them with defined benefit pension plans paying premiums. Now, for the single employer plans, maybe there's a better shot. So the bottom line is, yes, there is a pension guarantee corp, pension benefit guarantee corp, but they're only as good as their own financial stability, and they're really not too stable right now. So I wouldn't count on that as a safety net.
Now, switching gears, what about personal longevity? Someone comes in your office, Ed, and you're talking to them, and they say, and you say, well, tell me about your family longevity. He goes, well, my dad's 96. He and my mom, who's 94, they're still living at home. He mows his own lawn. And you go, wow. And then you say, well, just curious, grandparents, how long do they live? And you get a similar response. How does that play into someone who tells you that both their parents died in their early 70s?
Well, then you don't want to take a pension check. Now, you never really know. Again, the bigger factor, I think, is the health of the company paying it. So we talked about that, the financial stability of the company. But then your own life expectancy, if it's going to be short, those payments will generally end at death or the death of the spouse. So you're not going to get as much. In that case, you might be better off with a lump sum, because at least there will be an amount left over. Death won't end that amount. That lump sum, and then we get into the tax issues, can be rolled over to an IRA. And this leads to some of the tax issues, which is not as important as some of these personal issues. But with the tax issues, if you take the pension payments, those are all taxable. So the control, you lose control. Every month you get a payment, or every year when you get the 1099, it's all taxable, as opposed to a lump sum, which could be rolled over to an IRA, and you have more control and flexibility when you can take those payments. So, for example, if you're in a low bracket 1 year, maybe you can take more money out of your IRA, because then it's under your control, and take advantage of lower tax brackets or losses or deductions to eat up to absorb some of that income, or even convert to a Roth IRA. You have more flexibility and more control. Of course, under that scenario where you do the rollover to the IRA at 70 and a half, obviously you're going to be subject to required minimum distributions. But at least if there's an early death, that money is not lost. It goes to a beneficiary or to a spouse, and it's not lost. Another problem with the pension payments is that they generally don't have an inflation rider. So if you choose the pension payments, you'll get that amount a month forever, regardless of inflation, which means your purchasing power will go down. It will buy less. That's something to think about. Whereas if you invested the money on your own or with the help of a financial advisor, you might be able to better keep pace with inflation. But back to the behavioral aspect that we were talking about, Bob, if you take the lump sum, and assuming you don't blow it, then the alternative is you have to invest it and be able to create a return. Or alternatively, if you still want the guarantee of a pension, one option is to take that lump sum and invest it in, or part of it, maybe roll part of it over and invest part of it in an annuity that gives you guaranteed income for life. And this way, it takes the risk out of that. because now you're still getting a guaranteed check for life, for at least some or all of it, whatever you choose. And it's probably critical to work with an unbiased financial advisor who can have this conversation with you.
These are really great points. What about the person that's married? Are there any special issues for married employees when they're looking at a lump sum?
Yes. As I said before, because of it's a defined benefit pension plan, you'd have to get the consent of the surviving spouse, because there's a surviving joint benefit to the surviving spouse. So you never know. You have to ask about the marriage. How would the surviving spouse feel about signing off on a lump sum distribution? Remember, lump sum distribution, as I said, you could roll it to an IRA, and you could name anybody you want then as beneficiary. You wouldn't be required to name a spouse. So a spouse might be reluctant to agree to that. Again, it depends on each person's marriage. Now, typical couple that has no problems is coming to see you. They might say, we still want the lump sum. The spouse may say that too. We can invest it. We have a good financial advisor. We'd rather have a bird in the hand. We'd like to have that money. We don't trust the company. We want the money. And that's why most people choose the money. Whenever I've sat with people making these decisions over the years, I'd say in almost every case, they took the money because they wanted that bird in hand. They didn't want to take a chance on the company paying out. But sometimes when companies make offers like this, to the employee, it's seen as maybe I can't trust that company. They're changing the rules. They're offering me something to get out of an obligation. So they have like a negative feeling sometimes and just want to get the money. But if you're married, you have to take the spouse into consideration with that. This is survivor benefits I'm talking about.
So you'll basically compare the election you already have in place with taking a lump sum, and if even if you're not real healthy, but your spouse is in great health, that might affect your decision.
Right. Well, if the spouse is okay with taking the pension too, the pension would survive if the employee dies early, but the spouse lives on, there would still be a benefit. And that's where you make a choice, where you might say, well, I want the full benefit. Obviously, there's one pot of money, so you can't have it both ways. If you want the spouse to get a benefit, if you want the benefit to last for both lives, then obviously the payment's going to be lower now.
Got it. Now, let's talk about low interest rates. You kind of alluded to that before, but just 30 seconds, the lower the interest rate, the greater the lump sum, and that's what might make this a very interesting time.
Right, because rates are at an all-time low. This is the basis of all defined benefit pension plans. They're based on the interest rate. In fact, back in the early 2000s, when General Motors was having these same problems, their retiree and health obligations, and this was in a higher interest rate environment back then, you're talking almost 20 years ago, that a 1% decline in the interest rate would have wiped out their profit for 5 years, would have wiped out an estimated $16 billion in their profit for the 5 years, 2000 to 2004, was only $13 billion. So that's what they were worried about. Just a 1% drop in the rate would mean their pension obligation would increase and wipe out their profits. That's what companies are afraid of. But it works the other way. In other words, the lower the rate, the more they have to put in. But also, the lower the rate, the bigger the offer, which is right now. I think rates are at all-time low. So anybody looking at the lump sum is probably in the best situation possible to get the largest lump sum right now. So you can't discount that because that lump sum is as good as it's going to get, because how much can they lower rates at this point?
Those are excellent points. Now, tax consequences. What do you see as the difference between a massive lump sum versus monthly pension payments?
Well, the massive lump sum can be rolled over to the IRA. That's what we were talking about before. So there would be no tax. And obviously, we know to do a direct rollover, so you don't have the 20% withholding. So once it's in the IRA, then you're in control as the employee. Now, that could work for you or against you. As we said, if you don't have the financial discipline, remember, everything you take out of that IRA is going to be taxable. But you could strategically take it out if you have the financial wherewithal or a good advisor, or you're able to do it when rates are low, when rates are low, brackets are low, you have the option to convert to a Roth. So you have more options available. There's more flexibility and more control tax-wise. You can do better tax planning. You can't do any tax planning with a straight pension payment. Every month you're going to get that check and it's going to be taxable. So there's really no tax planning you can do with a straight pension.
And finally, what about inflation, Ed? I mean, some of these plans, the pensions are adjusted for inflation, some aren't, but how does that come into play?
Most of them, they're not. The only plans you'll see really that have an inflation rider are more governmental plans. But most private companies, these pension checks are what they are. They're not adjusted for inflation, so your purchasing power is reduced, and you're stuck with that check. And some people are glad just to get that check every month. But every time there's a cost of living inflation increase, it buys less. So that's something to take into account. Based on our talk today, Bob, if I was sitting with a client, I would imagine more than 90% now would take the lump sum because it's a higher amount. They have more control. It will last after their death. They don't have to worry about the company's financial stability. They know what they're getting now. They like the bird in the hand. And then it's on them. The key to all of this is the risk. Once you take that lump sum, this is why the company is offering this. The company has then transferred both the risk and the responsibility for investing and keeping that money from the company to you personally. And are you up to handle that risk? The risk switches. It shifts from the employer to the employee once you take the lump sum. And that's where you need a great advisor, a great tax advisor, some financial help to make sure that money lasts as long as you do, and it can last beyond. Remember, with the lump sum, it can live on to beneficiaries. I think most people will take the lump sum based on having a conversation like this for all of these reasons. But you have to have the financial discipline, and you have to be able to handle the investment risk and responsibility. This won't be the end of it. Remember, all the companies are facing this at one point or another. The pension liabilities are just eating up their profitability. They can't handle it. You're going to see more and more buyouts. And if you noticed, even the government policy on going back and forth on opening these windows for employee buyouts. At one point, the government said, no, you can't do it. Then they said, yes, you can do it. Then they said, no, you can't. And as recently, I think as last March or so, it was around last March. I'm just looking at it now. IRS had another change of heart. It issued notice 2019-18. And now they said lump sum windows for retirees, at least for now, are permissible. So the window is open, and that's why you really have to act now. And this is going to be the way the companies just are. The word is de-risking. They're de-risking. They don't want the risk, which means it's going to shift to the employee. But it may not be a bad deal if you can handle a lump sum and do it correctly.
Ed, this has really been a wonderful summary. Thank you so much for being with us today. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Bob Keebler with Ed Slott. If you enjoyed this podcast, we highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access additional information. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.